All right. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul is at Miletus meeting with the elders of Ephesus there. And Paul writes in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings on us. I thank you for the good food and fellowship that we were able to enjoy this afternoon. And now, Lord, I pray once again, I thank you for the food and the bread of the Word of God. And I pray that you would feed our souls and strengthen us, God. Give us courage for the days ahead that you would give us, that we might be witnesses for you, that we might be ready to share the gospel with a lost person, that we might be ready to help a believer who's struggling, to assist and be a part of your work in whatever may come our way. Dear God, help us to be watchful and be looking for those opportunities to serve you and to be a witness for you. And I pray that you bless your word this afternoon, and help me, fill me with your spirit, help my dear wife, and fill me with your spirit also those in the nursery. Bless and fill, God. And we thank you for the moving of your spirit this morning. Help us just to listen to you and to apply your word to our hearts and lives. And Father, help us again just to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. And I've entitled the message for this afternoon, simply just feed the flock. Feed the flock. And the message is to elders. Paul is preaching to the pastors at Ephesus, but it really can be applicable to all believers. We are supposed to minister to one another, even to one another in the Word of God. By the way, when we put on the whole armor of God, we take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as we minister to one another. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, usually, as they say. I don't think that that God has maybe different requirements, especially in this area, for pastors as he does for believers. A pastor will have to answer. I think there'll be a greater answering for a pastor should he fail to follow in those things. But yet the responsibility falls on us all to feed one another the word of God and minister to one another. So we'll look at this passage in that light. And of course, I'll take it personally also, as I need to, being appointed by God as the pastor of this flock. and for which I'm thankful and humbled, and I'm thankful for the meeting that we have here. For God taking care of our needs for all these years, and it's been a great blessing and continues to be. Feeding the flock. Well, in the work of the ministry, you must, number one, feed the flock. You need to feed the flock. Why? Because the flock is precious to the shepherd. Because the flock is precious to the shepherd. Paul tells them in this meeting in verse 28, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's how precious the sheep are to the shepherd. And so we need to feed them because we're precious to the shepherd. He's given his life for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we saw the miraculous power in that ministry that Christ did for you and I in giving his life for the sheep. What a challenge to husbands in Ephesians chapter 25. We'll get there soon. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what? Gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. And my wife was having a conversation with her mother, my mother-in-law, the other day, and over the phone, and they were talking about how as you get older in the Christian life, you become more aware of your own sins and the sins that are around you, and they're more appalling to you as you draw closer to Christ. And, yeah. And they were discussing about that and how it's hard to, even the sins of the world, it's a temptation to get angry, you know, just at all the sin that's around you. And then they were talking, you think of that way, you think of it, feels that way to us who are sinners saved by grace. What do you think Jesus must have felt like when he stepped in this place absolutely pure and holy? And yet he came, what? Not to judge, but to give himself a life for the world and a ransom for many. And so that love that he has, having come into the world with a far greater difference between him and the world than what there is between us and the world, even after our salvation. Amen. Yeah. He was able to love. And he was able to have that love flow through you and I. The sheep are precious to the shepherd. And we love, matter of fact, we learned we love Jesus by loving the sheep. I was in hungered, Matthew 25:35. And he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Talking about how he ministered to others in the name of the Lord. And he says, that's like ministering to me. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least, one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And we need to feed the flock because they're precious to the shepherd. Secondly, we need to feed the flock because there are those in the flock that hunger. There are those in the flock that hunger. Feed the church of God, verse 28, which he hath purchased with his own blood. When we're bought by the blood of Christ, we are transformed and we become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad I became a new creature. I'm glad the Holy Spirit works in my heart and convicts me of my sin. I'm glad that I don't love the things I used to love anymore. I'm glad that I love things I didn't used to love anymore back then. And that there's a change, that new creature. There are those in the flock that hunger. You see, as we're born again, we get a hunger, what, for that word of God. We get a hunger for spiritual things. I think of Romans 6:20. Paul there writes, for when ye were the servants of sin, before you were transformed, ye were free from righteousness. Oh, that's something you don't want to be free from, folks. You were free from righteousness, totally separated from it. What fruit had ye then in those things, what? Whereof ye are now ashamed. Now you think about those things, and you're ashamed that you lived in those things. You're ashamed that you did those things. Why? For the end of those things is death, Romans says. You can see that song, you know, we sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than be a king of a vast domain, held in sin's dread sway. That's where I was when I loved those things. That's where you were when you loved those things. That's where that person that's not born again yet is. See, we tend to think of them as wicked, and sin is wickedness, but folks, they're deceived. A deceived person doesn't know any better. Someone walking in the dark is going to stumble into things. They need the light turned on, amen? And they need the light turned on. See, but there's those that are flocks in the flock that hunger. We're born again. We have that hunger. Now we're ashamed of that old life. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Man, I remember when I first heard salvation was a free gift and understood it. I had a hunger. I never heard that. I wanted to hear more of that. When I heard that salvation wasn't something, it wasn't me trying to get to God, it was God coming for me. Boy, I had a hunger to hear more about that. And the Spirit was bearing witness to my spirit that that was the truth. And what an amazing thing, that new creature. I think about how Peter hungered for the words as he was following Jesus, and he began to teach some hard things, and some of the crowd began to go away. And Jesus said in John 6:67, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Well, we're hearing from you. You're speaking with authority and compassion and truth. And we never heard this before. We've never seen this done like what you're doing. And we want it. We're hungry for it. And we want, where would we go? What would life be if we couldn't now follow you like we're trying to do right? And hear what you're saying. What an amazing thing, because there are those in the flock that hunger. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which what? Do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And by the way, that's a hunger and a thirst we ought to never lose. Well, I've learned enough Bible, you know. Well, I know enough about God. I know enough about God's will for my life, do you? Well, we need to be continually hungry for that, don't we? And as we're continually hungry, God will continually be filling us and guiding us, because there are those in the flock that hunger. Thirdly, we need to feed the sheep, because there are those in the flock that are weak. There are those in the flock that are weak. Paul writes in verse 35 of Acts chapter 20, "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to what? Support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." That is such a powerful truth. See, the world thinks it's all about receiving. And God says, no. What did Jesus do? He came and he gave it all, didn't he? He gave it all. He who made it all gave it all. Even gave the one thing he didn't make, his very self. See, some in the flock are weak, so they need to be fed. Maybe they haven't learned the word of God yet. Maybe they're new converts. Maybe they're Christians that maybe are carnal and haven't grown as they should. Maybe they've strayed into some bad pastures and have been poisoned by some shepherds that have fed them the wrong things. They've followed false teachers, perhaps. Maybe they wandered out of the way. They've been wounded by the wolves and hurt by the attacks of life and have taken some wrong decisions. But, you know, we need to remember our flesh. Anything that can happen to a human being can happen to me. Anything that can happen to a human being can happen to you. I can get a wrong attitude and so can you. And the Bible talks about us not hiding ourselves from our own flesh. Don't forget we're human. And we can, but you know, as we've often heard it said, but for the grace of God, there go I. Feeding the flock. Feeding, remember, those that are weak. Feeding them the word of God. When you lack nourishment, you become weak. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 109, verse 24, my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. We go without the word of God, we become spiritually weak. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, and that means the law, the word of God in the context, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Talking about the law there, the word of God. How we need that. God's people are to be diligent to see that the weak are helped and healed and kept in the way. And the writer of Hebrews tells us to beware of that. It says, make straight paths for your feet. Choose the right direction. Lest that which is what? Lame be turned out of the way. There might be some weak ones that are trying to follow you, and if you go the wrong path and I go the wrong path, guess what? There go they. Lest that which is weak be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We're not going to know God the way he wants us to if we're not following paths of holiness and peace. We're to be looking diligently, Hebrews 12:15, lest any man fail of the grace of God. See a believer losing a battle in life, losing the battle in hope, losing the battle with wrong attitude. What do they need? They need a trip to the throne of grace, don't they? They're failing of the grace of God. They're running out of the grace of God because they're not going to the throne for the grace of God. See, God never runs out of grace. You can always go to that throne. And he gives us the strength that we need for that trial. And then four, whichever I'm at, we need to feed the flock because the wolves lurk about, looking for an opportunity to devour the weak. And they're all about us. We see them coming out of the woodwork even today. Paul wrote there, in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. That's what wolves do. They try to get disciples after them instead of disciples after the Lord. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul said, I was willing to give myself for you. I wasn't out for the big crowd. You knew that if I went in there and it was evident to you that I would have died for you. The wolves never give up. I remember the old, it wasn't a Roadrunner cartoon, but it was the sheepdog and the wolf. You remember that? I think I looked it up the other day. It was Ralph and Sam, I think. And every day they'd clock in. And I forget which one was Ralph and which one was Sam. But the sheepdog, they'd punch in for their day. And they were always polite to, morning Ralph, morning Sam. And they'd clock in. And they'd no sooner get in. And the sheepdog's watching the sheep. Of course, he had his hair down over his eyes, you know. And the coyote's getting ready how he's going to get him, you know. And all day long, the sheepdog would end up beating up the coyote, and he'd never win, never get a sheep, you know. But at the end of the day, they'd clock out. The thing about Satan is, though, he never clocks out. He never clocks out. And by the way, he does get some sheep. He gets lots of them. He doesn't get their souls, but he gets them defeated in their lives. He gets them run down. He breaks up marriages. He breaks up families. He causes people to lose faith in Christ to become a poor testimony for him. We need to watch out because the wolves lurk about looking for an opportunity to devour the weak. A couple things and I'm done. Won't be long this afternoon. So how do I feed the flock? Point number next, by declaring the word. By declaring the word. Verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. I'm so glad for the word of God. I would have no idea what to do as a preacher if God hadn't given us his word and just said, declare this. This is what you need to do, and this is how you need to declare it. I'm glad as a believer, too, that I can follow this. I'm getting saved. I mean, this is the roadmap for my life. And I don't need someone, and by the way, I even have it in English. I don't need someone to translate it for me, amen? God showed me just what I need to do and follow right here. What a wonderful thing. I can check up on the people that preach to me just by praying and reading the Bible and saying, God, show me what he will guide you into all truth, the Spirit will. Thank God. See, the problem is we'll get what we're seeking. If we just want to be accepted and have a crowd or find entertainment, that's what we'll get. But if we want what? The truth, that's what we'll get. But sometimes we have to be willing to, how much do we want that? What will we give away for that? What will we sacrifice to have? The truth. If we want it, if we seek, and ye shall find. By declaring the word of God, Peter hungered for those words. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We saw that earlier. And declaring that word to him. The psalmist, in the midst of struggles, Psalm 119:28 said, my soul melteth for heaviness. You ever been there? You just feel like your soul just, it's just so heavy, whatever that trial is. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. I like that. God's word gives strength. Grace. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, how? With the washing of water by the word. This living word. Sin will keep us from this book, and this book will keep us from sin. You'll find, if we're in this book, the Bible says we'll find ourselves transformed in the same image from glory to glory. It'll turn us into the image of Jesus Christ if we fall in love with this book and want to apply it to our lives. It will more and more turn us into the image of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. See, we find support when we lean on something that is stronger than we are. I was watching the news and they had this hurricane on the East Coast, and they had this one reporter there. Don't you feel sorry for these reporters? You know, everybody flee! You guys get down there and stand on the beach now. And everybody in the whole state has to flee if the reporter has to go down there and stand on the dock, you know, and with a camera. And they had this one guy, and he's standing there. He's got his microphone. He has his hand wrapped around his pole. He can barely stand up, and he's giving his report, you know. But you know what? That pole, he needed that pole. Because that pole was stability. Without that, he had his arms wrapped around something that was stronger than he was. And that's what we need, is to wrap our arms around the Word of God. It's stronger than we are. It'll give us that support that we need by declaring the Word of God. Paul encouraged Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:6. He was to be remember the things he's been taught. He says, be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The Word of God. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. He gives us that blessed word. Years ago, Sarah Palin, in her political campaigning, was attacked for something they did in Alaska. They would hunt wolves from helicopters. It was part of the I forget what they call it. It was a program to balance the was too many wolves and livestock were being killed. This was a government program to help balance it. And so she got attacked by the environmentalists and all that. But the reason that they would hunt from helicopters is, see, the wolf is roughly the same size as the sheep. And when you're down in the ground, a wolf amongst the sheep is hard to spot. They're hard to see. And so you got to get up. You got to get to an elevation that can show you the wolves. See, we don't know the wolves, unfortunately, by their clothing, do we? Because they're wolves, what? In sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. How do we know their fruits? By the fruits you should know them. What's their fruits? We've studied this. The words they speak. When the words they speak don't match this, from this higher elevation, we can spot the wolves. We can see where they're at when they're not matching up to the Word of God by declaring the Word of God. And then finally, by demonstrating a walk with God. By demonstrating a walk with God. Look at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Whenever we read the Bible, a preacher has to realize you're first preaching to yourself. You got one finger pointing out. We've all heard it. You got three pointing back at you. We read the Bible, we're first preaching to ourselves. Brother Dennis was talking about how that in the lessons about how when we're going to approach a brother or sister in Christ with sin in their life, we need to make sure we don't have that mote in our eye, and that as far as and things are right in our camp, we don't have some glaring sin that is obvious that we shouldn't be talking to somebody else about a problem by demonstrating a walk with God. Paul said in verse 35 here in the chapter, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. I've showed you. I'm demonstrating that. Feed the flock. Need to prepare the meal. Learn the Word of God. Every person in you who's prepared a dinner knows that it's awful. It's harder to prepare it than it is to eat it, isn't it? And we need to be studying the Word of God. Meditate upon these things, 1 Timothy 4:15. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Demonstrate a walk with God. And then, finally, trust the work of God. Trust the work of God. Verse 32 here in the chapter. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I'm leaving now, and you won't see my face again, he told them during that trip. They wept over that. But he says, but I commend you to the letters that I've given you. And don't doubt for a moment, they didn't go back and search as all those Old Testament scriptures that Paul taught them. You know, the New Testament church was built on Old Testament scriptures. And don't you think for a moment they didn't go back and begin studying those things, those letters that Paul gave them, those Old Testament scriptures now that were enlightened to them. And they became students of the Word of God. And that Word was able to build them up. Trusting the work of God. Committing to the Word of His grace, this Word right here, which is able to build you up. Sheep are dependent upon the Shepherd. And we depend upon this Word of God. And we believe the Gospel. And we build ourselves up according to Jude, verse 20. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, learning the Word, and applying it to our hearts and lives. Amen. Feeding the flock. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the living Word. Dear God, we could burn every Bible in the world and your Word is still settled in heaven. We'll see it again. It's eternal. It's living. And I thank and I praise you for that. I am thankful that we have it on the printed page, and may we embrace it and love it and read it and learn it, dear God, and apply it to our hearts. And may you please give us opportunities to share it with others and to help the brethren around us in applying it to hearts and lives. And Father, we thank you for a good day today. We thank you for your Spirit with us. Be with us. We go home now. Take us home safely and help us with whatever time you give us, dear God, to glorify your name, to love those around us, Lord, to be mindful of your coming, And Father, to enjoy all you've given us in this life to enjoy, but to remember also, Father, there may be someone we can reach in some way, lost or saved, to point them closer to you, perhaps to give them the gospel, perhaps to help a believer grow stronger. But help us, Lord, in these things, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.